We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, folks, the Kentucky basketball coaching search has come to an end, I think, quicker than a lot of us expected it to be. In the words of the Field of 68's own Jeff Goodman, Kentucky is expected to hire BYU's Mark Pope, barring a last-second collapse in negotiations, according to a source. Pope played for the Wildcats from 1994 to 1996, and he has been the head coach at BYU since 2019. And the way that this kind of played out is something that I don't think a lot of people necessarily expected, right? Kentucky's athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, went after Scott Drew. He went after Dan Hurley. He went after Nate Oates. Nate Oates was the first one that he went after John Calipari left for Arkansas. And then to last night, he went after Scott Drew, was told no this morning. This afternoon, he went after Dan Hurley, was told no again. And then this evening, he ended up on Mark Pope. The way that Goodman phrased it, who could not be here because he is currently attending a wedding for his nephew. If you want to know what it's like to be married to Jeff Goodman, he was on his phone breaking news of the Kentucky coaching hire while he's at a wedding for a family member. So always fun when that happens after the season's over. But as Goodman put it, 15 years ago, Mitch Barnhart was persuaded to go after somebody that came with a little bit of baggage, right? That had some kind of issues in his past that maybe he had to look past if he's going to hire him to be the head coach at Kentucky. That was John Calipari. Obviously, Calipari had the NCAA stuff going on from his time at Memphis. And this time around, Mitch Barnhart decided he didn't want to go with Bruce Pearl. He didn't want to go with Chris Beard. He didn't want to wait out Billy Donovan, considering that a week from now could change the landscape of who is potentially available, given what is open, what is currently available in the transfer portal. So he went with BYU head coach Mark Pope, who, for the record, has been a solid to a good coach at BYU over the years. I'm going to talk about his resume here in a couple minutes. I don't want to dive into that just yet. I do want to say that I was able to catch up with Mark Pope at the Final Four. He came on one of our live streams and he came on one of our live shows. And one of the conversations that we kind of ended up on was discussing how he balanced the idea of being a Kentucky alum and being a very proud Kentucky alum with being the head coach at a program that at some point would likely end up having to play Kentucky. And I think that if you go back and listen to that interview, we just posted on YouTube. You can find it on our YouTube channel. You could also find it on the Field of 68's Twitter account. What he basically said was that Kentucky is always going to hold a very, very special place in his heart. And you could just hear him in speaking and understand that the opportunity to maybe one day coach the University of Kentucky would be something that would be very, very appealing to him. He spent 2 years with them. He was part of the 1996 national championship team that a lot of people consider to be the greatest college basketball team of all time. He was one of nine NBA players on that roster. And now he is back in Lexington for the first time professionally as the expected to be back in Lexington for the first time professionally as the next head coach of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, which is an incredible climb up the coaching ladder if you kind of look at where he was 2 years ago, right? In 2023, he was sitting at 19-15 overall. He was 7-9 in the WCC, which was good for a fifth place finish behind the likes of Santa Clara and Loyola Marymount, in the WCC title race. He has won, I believe, just one regular season title in his tenure as the head coach at any of the programs that he's been at. And no, you know what? He hasn't won any regular season titles as a head coach at the Division I level. But I think that if you look kind of big picture on what he's been able to accomplish, but before we talk about what he actually is as a coach, I think if you look at what he's been able to accomplish since he's been there, in the last five seasons at BYU, three of the 5 years, he's finished higher than John Calipari has in KenPom's KenPom's adjusted efficiency rankings. He's had three top 20 teams in KenPom as the head coach at BYU. Last year, he managed the transition from the WCC to the Big 12 about as well as you could possibly imagine. He finished as the number 18 team in KenPom. He finished as a sixth seed, and he won 23 games and went 10-8 in the Big 12. Good for sixth place and tied in that conference with none other than Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. I understand why there might be some hesitancy from Kentucky fans when it comes to this hire. But I do think that it's important to note a couple things. One, Pope throughout his tenure has been a guy that has been a little bit more analytically driven and a little bit more quick to embrace the concepts of modern basketball, right? Like, he's a guy that is going to run offenses that are spread out. This past season at BYU, he reinstalled an offense that was new and unique and involved quite a bit of three-point attempts and was kind of built around this idea of pace and space, and really embraced the idea of having big guys that are versatile and having playmakers at the four and the five spots, and being able to get quick actions that will allow you to get open three-pointers. They run a lot of stuff through Zoom. Zoom actions, not Zoom, the streaming and conversational service. But it is something where I think that he is more of a modern basketball mind than a lot of people are going to realize, right? There's a little bit of, to me, like a Greg McDermott kind of a vibe here. I think a lot of what he runs will be a little bit similar to, not quite at the same level of sophistication and complex sets as Dan Hurley, but it's not all that dissimilar from what both of those guys are going to try to do. So offensively, from a basketball standpoint, I think that he's going to be just fine. Like, I think he's going to be able to run the stuff that he needs to run. I think he's going to be able to get the players that he has in the positions that they need to be able to be in, you know. The way I think about it is this: in six of the last 7 years, he's won at least 20 games. The year that he didn't win 20 games, he won 19 games. And at none of those seven seasons was he at a program where he was a top two job in the league. And I would argue that Gonzaga and St. Mary's, while he was there, were the two best jobs in the WCC. And Utah Valley was in the WAC at the same time that New Mexico State and Grand Canyon were in the WAC. So he's found a way to be able to win at a place where it's maybe not necessarily the best job that he is going to have. And, you know, I still would have gone pretty, if I was Kentucky's AD, if I was Mitch Barnhart, I still would have gone pretty heavily after Bruce Pearl, Chris Beard, Sean Miller. I probably would have tried to wait it out to see if I could get Billy Donovan before I ended up on Mark Pope. But I said it today on Twitter in a thread that I think that if Mark Pope was your safety net, you had a pretty you're in a pretty good situation. And that's a pretty good place to end up being. It's not the best. It's not the necessarily the higher that you're going to want to go to in the first place. But I don't think that this absolute catastrophe that a lot of people are painting it out to be. Now, for me, the biggest thing is going to be dealing with him dealing with being at a higher level and whether or not he's going to be able to get guys in, right? I think that the basketball side of it will play itself out pretty well. Like, he knows what he's doing. He runs modern principles of basketball. He adjusted teams just the way that he played the last two or three seasons based off of the specific roster build that he has. Now, I think the biggest thing is going to be whether or not like he can get the players that he needs to get. But I do think that at the end of the day, right, it's Kentucky. You know, I don't think you need to be John Calipari to be able to get kids to go to Kentucky. I don't think that you need to be the best recruiter in the world to get kids to be able to go to Kentucky, especially in a day and age where they're worried about this. Money talks, right? Not that it didn't happen before, but now it's much more above board. And as long as he has the resources that he needs to be able to function in the modern space, it's something where I think that he's going to be able to have the chance to get the guys that he needs to be able to get. I also don't think he's going to be someone that sits here and absolutely 100% prioritizes nothing but the best five stars in college basketball. And one of the things that I've heard over and over again from Kentucky fans when it comes to complaints about Coach Cal is twofold, right? Number one, it's the stuff that he runs. He's running old school offenses. He's running defenses and playing with a style that is based on something that was successful 10, 15, 20 years ago before we understood the analytics of and the value of shooting threes, before we kind of understood the modern efficiency metrics and the ways that basketball has kind of been solved. And frankly, basketball has kind of been solved a little bit to a point here. So I think that Mark Pope absolutely 100% understands that. Anybody that watched his teams play this season can absolutely 100% understand that. He knows, and he told us this, that when he went to the Big 12, he was going to have to play a different style to be able to make it work with a team like BYU playing in the Big 12. He is a smart, smart dude that understands basketball, and that's something, and understands modern basketball, and that's something that Kentucky fans had complained about quite a bit. The other thing that I hear Kentucky fans frustrated with is this idea that
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Coach Cal put together a program that celebrated guys getting to the NBA and having success more than they celebrated players coming to Kentucky and having success. I know that I don't know if this is necessarily the sentiment from the Kentucky fans at large, but the guys that I know that are Kentucky fans, one of my best friends grew up in Ryle, Kentucky. It was part of the Ryle Raiders program that made it to whatever the Final Four is of the Kentucky State Tournament he played in. And there was a reality show. He's on TV. We used to make fun of him for it all the time in college. What he gets the frustrated the most with is the fact that you have to get to know a new roster every single year. And part of that is just modern college basketball. But part of that is that one of the priorities that Coach Cal set with this program was getting NBA guys in, getting one and dones in, getting them out the door, and becoming the place and the hub where the best future NBA talent would come, spend a year, and head off to the next level. And that made it cool to be a Kentucky fan. And that made it cool to be a Kentucky player. And that helped him recruit a certain type of player to the program. But the downside of that is it became very difficult and becomes very difficult when you're doing that for a fan base to fully buy into a specific team, because it takes so long to get to know that team, and you have new faces every year, and you have new players every year, and you have new freshmen every year, and the learning curve that comes with bringing in new freshmen year after year after year after year can get a little bit exhausting when it is not 2015 every single season. So I don't think that that is going to be the way that Mark Pope goes when it comes to building rosters. I think you're going to see more continuity. I think you're going to see more players hanging around for 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. I think that you're going to have a program where you can feel like you're getting to know the players and the people in and around that program a little bit more. And I know that that's something that the Kentucky fans had been frustrated with John Calipari about in recent years. And I think that that is going to change. Now, does that mean that he's going to go and win national titles? Does that mean within 3 seasons he's going to have Kentucky back as a consistent Final Four program? Who knows? I don't think anybody can tell you that as a certified fact. I think that the simple fact that he's going to more or less have to rebuild an entire roster from essentially scratch when it really comes down to it is something where he's going to be starting a bit from behind the eight ball this year. I mean, look at Rick Pitino, probably the greatest coach of a generation, right? Went to St. John's this year and he couldn't even get into the NCAA tournament. And he had an all Big East caliber center coming back and went out and got some of the best transfers that were in the portal and added some of the best freshmen available. So I don't know if it's going to be an immediate fix for Kentucky. But what I would say is that, I don't think that you're going to change the AD's mind, right? If he is on his way out and if he is trying to make a hire for himself and a hire that he wants to make, and if he went from Nate Oates to Scott Drew to Dan Hurley to Mark Pope without hitting any of those other big, kind of obvious names, the Sean Millers, the Bruce Pearls, the Chris Beers, the Billy Donovans, the guys of that ilk, without actually talking to any of them, which it does not appear that he did, and does not appear that he made an effort to go get. I mean, when you go from Scott Drew saying no in the morning to Dan Hurley in the afternoon to Mark Pope basically being hired that night all in the same day, then it kind of feels like one of those things where that was the next guy on the list. And if that was the next guy on the list, then I think it's clear the process that Mitch Barnhart had when it came to making this hire. And if his process was, I'm not hiring somebody that has something in their past or something going on beyond just being a basketball coach, then I think that you can kind of see why he ended up here. So what I would say is this, if I was advising Kentucky fans, is buy into it, right? Maybe it's not going to be great the first year. Maybe it'll take 2 or 3 years to kind of get this thing going. Remember, the guy that all of you wanted to hire, that every Kentucky fan was clamoring over, was Dan Hurley, who did not get out of the first round of the NCAA tournament until his 5th year at UConn. The rebuild for UConn started, was probably a little bit of a bigger rebuild than from a program perspective than I think Kentucky is going to be. You know, I think that they were a 3 seed this past season. When Dan Hurley took over, they were under 500 the year before and playing in the AAC instead of the Big East. So he had, it was clear that it was going to be a slower grind for UConn than it should be for Kentucky. But it's one of those things where if you can kind of get behind him and get momentum behind the program and get the resources that he needs to kind of make this thing work, then I have a very strong feeling that this is going to be something that will work. Now, does that mean in 5 years you're going to be winning a national title with a chance to go back to back like Dan Hurley did? Who knows? You can't predict that stuff. Winning national titles is so incredibly difficult to do. There's a reason why there's only 3 active coaches right now that have ever won it twice, right? It's Rick Pitino, Bill Self, and Dan Hurley. And I think that being able to, instead of, I want to make sure I phrase this the right way. Instead of creating a negative atmosphere around the program where it might disincentivize players from coming in or boosters from donating NIL funds or sponsors from getting involved with the university that can help develop and build out that collective, I do think that getting behind the hire makes a lot of sense, because he is the antithesis of a lot of things that the fan base, from my understanding, did not really like about John Calipari by the time we kind of got to the end. He is one of your own. He loves that university. He loves that state. And if this ends up being something that is a failure, then it ends up being a failure. If it ends up being a complete bust, then it is what it is, and I'll eat my words and I'll go back on it. But I just don't think a guy that has taken BYU and made them a top 20 BYU made them a top 20 team three of the last 5 years, despite the fact that two of those years came in the WCC, and one of those years was after a transition to the Big 12 when they were projected to be the 13th best team in that conference. Remember, nobody thought BYU was a tournament team. Everybody thought BYU was going to walk into the Big 12 this year and get their doors absolutely blown off. They won 23 games. They went 10-8. Yes, they got smacked in the first round of the tournament. Yes, he has not won an NCAA tournament game. I get all that. This is a guy that I think has outperformed the expectations and the resources and what he should have been at the previous jobs that he was at. And I don't know if he'll do the same at Kentucky, but I do think that you're looking at a guy that is going to make this team be relevant, be nationally competitive, excuse me, be in the mix to go out and win SEC titles. And he's going to do it playing a style that you are going to enjoy watching, that is going to be aesthetically pleasing, that is going to be modernized, that is going to be up-tempo, that is going to be pace and space, that is going to have a lot of three balls going up. And he is a guy that is an engaging personality that I do believe can walk into the living room of people and be able to own that room. Not in the same way that John Calipari is, but again, you ran that guy out of town because you didn't want a guy that was John Calipari anymore. And I think that Mark Pope, there's a sincerity there with him. There's a genuineness there with him. And he's got a basketball pedigree, you know, played as many years as he did in the NBA, won a national title on the best team that we've ever seen in the college basketball ranks. So I don't want to sit here and tell Kentucky fans how to feel, right? If you want to be frustrated, this is where you ended up, be frustrated, frustrated that this is where you ended up. But if I gave you the framework where the decision was go out and get one of Nate Oates, Scott Drew, and Dan Hurley, or find somebody that doesn't have any baggage with them, then what are your options here? What are your choices? You didn't get one of those three because Nate Oates had an $18 million buyout and wanted to stay. Scott Drew had God telling him that he couldn't go to Kentucky, and Dan Hurley basically said no to what I guess was reported to be a $100 million contract, right? If you're going to say no to a $100 million contract, you probably don't want to be in a certain place. So I get the frustration if you're going to be frustrated, but I would like you to tell me that if you take those four guys that I mentioned that all have something in their past off the board and just say that that was a non-starter, where do you go once you get past those top three? Do you want to wait potentially another week and a half to get Billy Donovan if you had to? And even then, have a 25% chance, as Jeff Goodman reported earlier, a 25% chance of actually getting them. I don't know if it's worth the 8 days and the most important time that there is when it comes to recruiting the transfer portal. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You guys can bookmark this. You can save it. You can let me eat my words. You can come back at me. But I do think that he is going to have Kentucky in and around the top of the SEC, in and around the top three seeds. And in the mix and in a position to threaten to make it to a Final Four and win some titles and hang some banners at some point in the next 5 years. And if it doesn't, then I guess we're going to be looking at a situation where we're going to have another coaching search here very soon. And I can tell you by the numbers that we've gotten over the course of the last 3 days that a coaching search for the University of Kentucky's head basketball coach is not necessarily a bad thing for the Field of 68. So, that's all I got here. I'm looking forward to seeing what Mark Pope can do there. I'm looking forward to seeing how he puts together his roster this season and how quickly it takes him to be able to do that. And I will just say this, right? Again, it's a different situation to what Ed Cooley was walking into at Georgetown, because there is much more infrastructure and much more framework. And I think it'll be easier to get kids to commit in the year one, but I understand why I've seen that comparison pop up a couple times on my timeline and a couple mentions. So I understand. I don't understand, but I just wanted to comment on that really quick, because it's very, very different right now trying to rebuild Kentucky's team and rebuild the Georgetown basketball program. Because Kentucky fundamentally as a basketball program is not broken. The fan base is still there. The passion is still there. You know, they were the, when I was in Rupp Arena, there were 23,000, whatever it is. It was completely packed to the gills. It was as loud as I've ever heard that building when I was down there. Right. I think that the crowd was very obviously craving a team that played that style. Like, the passion of Kentucky fans is unmatched. It is there. When it comes to Georgetown, you got to battle and fight and scrap just to get like 3,000 people to show up, to get more than like two rows of students to show up. I mean, they haven't won any games in the Big East in like 4 years, man. Like, so I think that those situations are very, very, very different. And I would be utterly flabbergasted, utterly shocked if Mark Pope had a first season at Kentucky that was in any way comparable to Ed Cooley's first season at Georgetown. So we could just stop that right now. You can just shut that thing down right now. I think that Pope will find a way to be able to get Kentucky in the NCAA tournament next season. And if he does, then that is the start of the building blocks to get this thing going. You're going to have players coming back. You're going to be able to have a little bit of continuity within the program. You're going to have some guys that you can get to know and get to root for and get to love beyond just having to enjoy when they come back as NBA stars after 8 months on campus. So get behind them, you Kentucky fans. I think that you are going to enjoy the way that he plays, enjoy rooting for one of your own, and I wish him nothing but the best, because Mark Pope has been nothing but good to me.